Welcome to Light the Way, stories of one community's commitment to racial equity and integration, where people of all backgrounds are welcome and active in every aspect of civic life. Each interview in this limited edition series is a candid conversation that dives deep into personal experiences and shines a light on the relentless work of the South Orange Maplewood Community Coalition on Race over the last quarter century. I'm your host, Liz Testa, longtime resident of these two towns and passionate about community building and equity for all. In this inaugural episode, it's a delight to be in conversation with the Coalition's longtime program director, Audrey Rowe, and her daughter, Solana, who you may know as the five-time Grammy-nominated artist, SZA. Their reflections on life, activism, and purpose are so thoughtful and engaging. I know you are sure to be truly inspired. So let's jump in. It's wonderful to be here today on the podcast with Audrey and Solana. Welcome, ladies. So excited to have you with us today to talk a little bit about your journey, your life in Maplewood, South Orange, as we're celebrating 25 years of the Community Coalition on Race. So just wondering if we can jump right in and you can share with us a little bit about what brought you first, what brought you to the community of Maplewood, South Orange, and what was it like to grow up here? What were some of the joys and challenges?
Sure, Liz. Thank you. We're excited to share with our neighbors and our community and anyone else who's joining us on this 25th anniversary. We actually landed in Maplewood when I was transferred through a corporate job to New Jersey. And we were working with a corporate relocation firm, and they were asking us for our list of things that were important to us. And because we're from a two-religion household, we wanted a place that was close to a masjid as well as the church of my faith. We also wanted to have access to New York City, which is one of the things that draws a lot of people to our community. We wanted a community that felt warm, you know, not urban. And we wanted a community that had action. You know, it wasn't a sleepy town, that there were always things to do. And Maplewood actually exceeded my expectations. I had no appreciation for what I was totally moving into until I actually moved here and found out how interesting many of my neighbors were, how many different things were available to do in the community. I actually got started with the Coalition. My daughter, Solana, was actually going to camp, and I was going down to her elementary school to wait for the bus to pick up the kids to take them off to camp. And while I was there, I was talking to some of the other mothers, and one of the mothers happened to be Barbara Heisel Williams, who was the first executive director for the Community Coalition on Race. So I was chatting with her about, and just generally, she said, you know, we really need somebody like you, you know, to work with the Coalition. You might give it a shot. So I actually got started working with the marketing committee, which was a good connection from what I was doing in corporate at that particular time. As I started to work, you know, with things that you're passionate about just seem to loom large and it takes more and more space in your life. And I was spending more and more time, probably much to Solana's chagrin, with the Coalition. And eventually they asked me if I would be willing to take on a staff position. And so I considered that, and that was like 20 years ago, and the rest is history. But even today, it doesn't feel like a job because it's something that I believe so strongly in. A lot of my passion for this work comes from my faith and my belief in one creator, one God, and one humanity. And I become very frustrated at all of the false assumptions and barriers that separate people, race being one of the major ones, if it's not the number one. And so anything that I could do to help get us past that was something that I was willing to do. And I've been working at that and will work at that as long as I can, because the whole race issue is so insidious. You know, you never get there It's a journey, an ongoing journey, as you have people either generationally come into the mix, as you have people move about across boundaries from other, from place to place. And so I've been excited to try to find creative ways to try to address the issue. And the number one culprit or opportunity, if you will, I think is relationships. The fact that so much of our misunderstandings, our ignorance in race comes from the fact that we don't really get a chance to know each other as people, as individuals. And so in the absence of information, we fill in the blank with either what we heard, what we read, what we think, and we don't have enough interaction to really test our assumptions. I always say, you know, if you only know one Black person or one white person, you're probably not going to be that satisfied. But you have to meet a variety of people to appreciate the range that we have and to understand that we're one humanity with the same fears, the same desires, the same concerns. So we have to have those opportunities to really interact as human beings, not necessarily as employees, but as people. And that's what we work on a lot in the coalition and always trying to come up with creative ways to do that. You don't want it to feel forced. So trying to find ways that feel natural and just people in the course of a conversation or in the course of a project they're working on start to discover how much they have in common and then start to really say, you know, I kind of like that person or maybe not. But then if there are other people that you're interacting with to kind of build your repertoire. So I've been working in every aspect of the community, whether it's in neighborhoods, working with the faith-based communities, working with the civic organizations, with the local government. Every place that there's an interaction in community, there's an opportunity for us to do a better job at this. I think that the challenges that we face, as I said, is that there's so much turnover. And you also have people who are dug in to their beliefs and are unwilling to let them go, even in the face of facts, which is kind of interesting. And that's one of the things in the coalition that we have acknowledged and or we've started doing more research to have objective information to share with people. But so much of race and racism is not rational, it's emotional. And so giving people positive experiences together. That's kind of my story. Let me just ask Solana, you know, what she thinks about all this and what it's been like for her.
It was highly conceptual at first to where, and I think it still is in a lot of ways, to where it's like there is like this conversation of inclusion and a desire, but there's a lot of closed-minded real-time energy. And from like bizarre police encounters to, you know, just like covert microaggressions from neighbors or educators or, you know, when we had that principal and, you know, our school, we had a walkout and that is what this town is about. I think it's about peaceful action and being leaders in that sense, where it's like, hey, this doesn't represent our values. A raisin in the sun is not adequate for Black History Month to represent Black families. And we do want to see change as youth, as people that really want this type of community. Every time there's a protest, every time there's a conversation, that is the true growth. It's not always about kumbaya and, you know, let's get to agree, or you may not always agree, and that's okay because that's where real growth happens with true conversation. And I think as long as that conversation never stops and it's never shot down, as long as we don't pretend to be finished, and in accomplishing that goal, we will continue to grow and it will actually be that the town that we want and that we need. And I think,
amen.
Sometimes it's tough because when you want to project an image of perfection, sometimes it makes you uncomfortable or uneasy to have that conversation where someone is hurting, someone is feeling disrespected, someone needs to have that conversation of validation and vindication. And I feel like that's really the hardest part. It's like remaining tolerant and open for all those necessary conversations and accepting that it's ongoing work. Growing up here, I've had so many positive experiences that carried me into the world, like, you know, going to gymnastics here, starting at the Y, going to SOMAPI, and really just having that experience of going to my mom's Presbyterian church and then having their camp retreats at Camp Johnsonburg. But like having that experience really just, you meet so many people from different faiths, different cultures. When we have those like around the world celebrations at school and everybody brings, and I'm making baklava at home to bring to the celebration. And I don't know.
I love it.
But it's a lot of exposure. And I think that's what really separates people. That's what separates people who quote unquote have and have not. It's experience and exposure. Experience is priceless. And so is exposure. So it's like, as long as we are not afraid to show all sides of us as a community and to amplify all sides of us as a community.
Yes.
Not just the parts that we deem acceptable, palatable, digestible. And I think that is what is the absolute most important, to make this that beautiful town that really sent me into the world believing that anything was possible. Any kind of interaction is possible. My next door neighbors, I grew up next to the chief of police, and the firefighters and the EMTs, and they taught me how to swim. They gave my first penne vodka pasta dish, and just learning about that, even like Italian American culture and how that integrates with everything. And then how, oh, an Irish culture, and my friend Sheila Kelly, who was in river dancing, and my friend Nicole Kaufman and her parents, and going to bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs, and learning about lacrosse, and Kaylin Kwiatkowski and her mom, and just like all these things are so, all these experiences are so important, because when you go into the world, you kind of don't really recognize that not everybody has exposure to alternate walks of life. In there's like an even amount of like the types of houses that you see. I go to some of my friends' houses and they live on Ridgewood Road and their houses are huge and it's crazy. And then some of my friends live, you know, on Jacoby Street, and there's like a sense of an even deeper sense of community. And there's people outside playing jump rope and vibing, and that's more than you can ask for when you just feel like we don't have to do anything. We can just go to the park and sit on the stoop and just vibe. And then there's like our neighborhood where it's like, it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of everything. You get a little bit of that like super community feel, but you get a little bit of that like park and peace and space and being able to ride my bike around town and walking to school every day. And honestly, that walk home from school where everybody breaks off and goes to their different sections of like Maplewood where they live, that's awesome. And I feel like I'm grateful that I didn't grow up in like a one-tone town. Energetically, aesthetically, that it's a multi-tone energy. And I think that probably shaped me the most, because even in my music and where people can't really place me, where it's like, is it suburban? Is it urban? Is it, but it's all these things. You know, my grandmother lives on South 16th and Avon in Newark. So it's like, there's so many different levels of exposure when it comes to New Jersey living, when it comes to suburban living, when it comes to community. So it's just, I know that I was blessed in a very rare space, going to Village Coffee Shop every day and having Indian food and having Indian style herb potatoes. And I was hurt when the Starbucks was built across the street. I love that my town is like, this is a small town thing where I worked at Trattoria in high school. I worked with Marianne at 10th Muse and selling things and learning what the word tchotchke meant and learning about fine jewelry and learning the difference between vermeil and gold plated. Like, But even just also getting to see everybody come out on the town when it was time for everybody to go out and do small business support and having that energy. And again, everybody knows each other. So at my mom's church, you have the same people that you see that come in the shop and the same people that you see at the pizza store and the same people. So when you're outside and you're a kid and it's a Friday night and you're at the Village, you're very likely going to run into somebody else's parents. And it's kind of, it's a level of accountability that helps you be like, I know this person, they know my mom. And, but it also is a level of like closeness. And I never want to lose that. I know a lot of new people have moved into the town where it's like, it's harder to say like, oh, I grew up with this person. Or they're like, no, I know this person's older sister and their older sister and their older sister. Like, and they all went to the same, you know what I mean? The same school, and they all went through the same system. And growing up with my best friend, Ashley Elam, she lived at 54 Oberlin Street. And she, her brother was in the high school, Michael Austin, and he was really popular. And having that experience where it's like, and then there's some people who knew my sister and she graduated in like 95 or something like that, or 98, 99. I don't know.
The 90s.
But having teachers who were like, oh, I remember your sister, or a nurse that's like, oh, I remember. And it's like, it's really special. And I think that, regardless of how many new people move in, it'll always have a certain energy and aura about it. The town, the community, the energy. And I think as long as, I think it actually pulls you to do something, to be more open and inclusive and not to knock on people's door and to invite them to things and to share. And it's just like, it's very, and to think about some of your preconceived notions and how those affect your actions. And I think that is, in a way, that is a dream town. That is the place that shaped me, or my father being Muslim and going to talk at synagogues, going to talk at churches, and having everyone from the town be there and being able to recognize him, and that this is an open dialogue where everyone can let their guard down and remove their judgments in a way. And I think I've just seen so many points of growth in this town. Even when Jacoby Street first started and there was a huge influx of Haitian American people moving in. And as a town, we had that conversation about, you know, it's like, how does this make us feel? And then it's a question of like, you should just be inclusive and be open-minded to what this could add enriching to the town.
Yes.
And it's about finding enrichment in things that you are not familiar with and allowing that space to become that. And so I think, again, it's an ongoing forever thing. As long as this town exists, it'll be an ongoing conversation of new people, new experiences, new thought patterns, new businesses. I'm not a super fan of the chain businesses and all that kind of stuff because I love our small town aspect. Where like a lot of the kids I went to high school worked at all these places still. And I like walking into Trattoria and seeing Ron. And when they opened up another Trattoria in South Orange, I was like, it's not cool at Trattoria. or trying to get a job as a caddy at the golf course, but I'm just not strong enough. But I heard that there's like a lot of opportunity there and I wanted to do it. And you see kids come back from the summer and they're cashed out. And you're just like, wow. But all these things, or going to the pool, and like going to the pool is actually such a crazy privilege now that I realize it's like to have a place where you can eat yummy food and like kind of like meet anybody, because it's a place where all of us can just like be ourselves and vibe out. Getting the courage to jump off of those diving towers and having everybody, it's like a watching event, like every summer when people are like, are you going to do it? Are you not going to do it? Are you in the third tower? But yeah, it's just an awesome, diverse, interesting place.
Well, you know, I love all you've said because, so our family's over in South Orange, but my girls went to Seth Boyden, and so very much part of the Mapso Soma, right? Both sides of both towns. But I'm just thinking when you were saying, you know, like the continuation of it, because my girls are now 16 and 19. My daughter Juliet's still at Columbia High School. And just what you're talking about is exactly all that stuff that was cultivated when you were younger, Solana, is absolutely continuing now. So, and I love hearing that, that like your hope is that it continues, because I see that coming to fruition. I think about the Haitian community coming in when there was the earthquake in Haiti back, 10 years ago, not the last one, but the one before. There were, in my daughter's second grade class at Seth Boyden, there were 5 children out of 17 who had direct ties with Haiti. And the teacher at that time, Mrs. Bartholomew, was a musician, and she had them record a song to raise money for, called Finding Hope for Haiti. And they sold little flower pots, and they raised over $2,000 selling little CDs of this little song that they all sang together to Growing Hope for Haiti. And so, and also thinking at Seth Boyden how immediately after that happened, there were flyers put out both in French Creole and Spanish and in English within 24 hours of the earthquake saying, we support you. We're here to help you if your children need counseling because their grandparents are affected or family members are affected. We're here for them. So I just love that story when you were talking about reflecting about, you know, when the Haitians started to move into the community and then how our family saw how the school responded to that, you know, and just how that was just part of my children's upbringing. And we're a bicultural family. So we've got a grandmother in our home who doesn't speak English, and we've got the old world foods and customs. And that was something that for us, when we moved here almost 20 years ago, was very important for me, because we've got lots of people in our, who we call family, who are different races, different cultures from different, you know, different tribes and tongues. And we have been able to walk in the footsteps of your family, I think, you know, as the next generation coming. And that was why we moved here, because of the two towns, the Community Coalition on Race, because of the tour that was offered that showed us all the different places in this community. So anyway, just to say, I love everything that you shared, and to thank you for helping to pave the way for our family and so many other families like ours, and the call to action, right? That we have to keep living into this. So what I was hoping we could talk a little bit about is, we talked a lot about the relationships, but there's also this other piece of this, which is about the systems, right? Dismantling systems of oppression, systems that are kind of stuck and really need transformation. And I'm wondering if either of you have any insights or any stories of the joys and the challenges of having engaged. I know the coalition has engaged in some of those conversations, and we have seen some shifts recently, which is good. But just anything that you have in that regard, because I think that's so important, that transformation of the system is important.
Yeah, my first reaction to that is that I think that I would put on the challenge side of my sheet, because we look at the issues that we're dealing with now, and many of them are the same issues we were dealing with 15, 20 years ago. So the change is ever so slow, and it becomes frustrating for those people who are being affected, for those who are trying to create change, and those who desperately need the change. We heard that voiced very loudly by our young people in mm-hmm. the Dear Mapso event we had last year,
sure did,
where they really called a lot of us who, though have been working hard, have not achieved the change that we all want to see. So calling us to task to do more or to move more quickly to get the change that we need. When Solana was talking, she really hit home on a couple of things for me, the whole issue of in our effort to be better, we sometimes don't want to acknowledge some of the stumbles along the way. And the biggest challenge, like even when we have our conversations on race, which is a great way to start building relationships that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. that people stop short because they're not truly candid, because they don't want to be the one to give voice to what the real issue might be, or to somehow be labeled as a person who is a naysayer. But until we're able to be honest with each other, we keep having the same conversation with no resolution. Mm-hmm. We've got to be willing to have the courage to say the word and to name it. And then once naming it, then figure out collectively, now what do we do about that? But as long as we go just so far and stop and not cross that line, we can't keep having the same conversations. One of the things I love about this town is that people don't just sit back and shake their heads. People really create concern, protest. They go to the Board of Education meetings. They go to the town hall meetings. They go and talk about the police department to try to get some change. And we've had some really wins lately, you know, like our community policing board that mm-hmm. we're able to start, which is the, I believe, the first one in the suburban community in the state that's actually working in an advisory capacity with the police now.
Excellent.
But that started from a negative situation. So as Solan had said, taking what happens and not turning away, but mm-hmm. walking straight into it and figuring out, okay, what do we need to do yeah. to change the situation for everyone? And not just change it so that it looks pretty, but change it so that the people are being most affected say, okay, yeah, that I felt that. That shifted something for me. And until we can get to the point that we're shifting things for the people most affected, we're still just working on the surface. So going deeper and being honest.
Or when you get presented with something that's uncomfortable, not dismissing it as like, this is drama. It's an opportunity for growth and an opportunity to really create that environment. And I really, really hope that was my fear. A lot of people that were new and moving in and had this promise of a utopia, that they didn't want to be bothered with any of these conversations that may be uncomfortable or like that maybe contest the idea of a utopia. But it's like, that is so necessary. That bravery is so necessary, and that openness and desire to listen to someone else telling you that they what they need, or even feeling like because you did something on your own initiative, then like that's enough. I've done enough. I did my due diligence for the year, for the decade. Like, I donated to Haiti, it's over. Like, it's more about having that real inclusion, that acceptance, and like giving that real voice to creating a full space for someone. If you don't do that, then it just ends up being another, it could be a GoFundMe on change.org. It could be anybody's change.org petition. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that it's Maplewood and South Orange. And I think we're better than that. And we are broader than that and more dynamic than that.
And it's a protracted struggle.
Yeah.
You've got to be in it for the long haul. You right. can't do one or two little items. And going to one or two meetings doesn't build relationship. So we try to do things in such a way that people have multiple opportunities to interact with each other on a sustained basis. So they really feel like they get to know each other a little bit. That's where the change actually starts, at the individual level, and then it flows into the community, because we tend to interact with people like us or people that mm-hmm. we know our small circle. And unless we broaden that, we still are in our little pods all around the community.
Well, I think a lot of it also has to do with, I mean, let's face it, you know, previous to this past year, we were in a situation where our political arena was so divisive. And so there was a lot of, you know, right. Yeah. The either or, right? It's like you're it's this kind of divided thing. And so when you're trying to build community, you're trying to do both, what I call both and work. You're trying to bring people together, create a space of embracing. It's challenging when kind of society keeps trying to, you know, kind of goad you to choose sides and to it's got to be one way or the other. And sometimes it does, right? Because justice is justice. But there's ways to do it that are more connected. Mm-hmm. And one thing that you were talking about, Audrey, was that you made sure with some of these changes that have been happening in our community, what's been really, I think, it sounds like a critical piece is that the people most affected are the people, like, they've been part of the solution finding. And I know that that's something, I don't know, Solana, if, you know, back when you were young, but we've noticed with some of the young people now coming forward, they're sharing, they're speaking their truth. They're saying, I appreciate that you all have been working on the school, you know, the issues in the school or what have you, but yet still, it still is a problem. It's still a challenge for us. We still don't have enough, Black kids in the AP levels, for example. We're still noticing that there's these disparities. So I just really appreciated that because, Solana, you also spoke to that, about that importance of elevating the voices, of amplifying the voices. So I don't know if you might have some like further encouragement that you could give around that, just either one of you. Yeah,
I think it's just about really being ready to go the extra mile. It's not about when there's kids complaining, don't give us a mural. Don't paint a mural with a bunch of Black faces on it and be like, that's it. That's groundbreaking. It's not groundbreaking and it's not enough. And that band-aid behavior is what actually creates that friction, where these new kids are not going for it. My generation wasn't going for it. And I don't think we should. I don't think anybody should if it's not enough, because we don't want a mural. We don't want a monument. We want actual inclusion. We want to feel welcome when we walk into a store and when we walk on our town streets, when I look at my new neighbors and they're wondering, like, who is this? Who are these people? But it's like, we've been here for 20 years. We like, who are you? Like, welcome. And let's have a conversation and get to know us and have open-minded discussion and not be off-put. And I think it's so rare that people are so used to living in other types of communities where it's like, there's like a chosen friction where it's like this unspoken things, and then it grows and grows and grows. But it's like, I want people to feel comfortable to be like, to take a chance and do things that may be scary to them. And the fact that it's scary at all is an indicator of a necessity. And so it's like,
it's good.
It's just like, we have to release and just demolish all fear of conversation, of correction. Fear of correction is a crazy thing. Mm-hmm. And fear of failure is a crazy thing, because you're not always going to hit the mark. You may do something where you feel like, oh, we did so much for this one demographic. I can't believe that this isn't enough. And it's like, no, it's not enough. And that's okay. So now let's figure out what does give vindication and validation, and what does give light and lifting to these separate communities. And I think, like, separate demographics, mm-hmm. and not being afraid to like really go that extra mile and have it be like a continuous thing, not just on Black History Month, not just during Rosh Hashanah and Hanukkah, not just during any Asian American AAP month or Latin American culture, not just when it's time to talk about the Native Americans that were at Tuscan Elementary School and all these things. It's about an ongoing, this is our culture. We are choosing that this is our culture. This rainbow of information, and speaking of rainbow with the LGBTQ community, and it's not just about giving them a single painted mural on the sidewalk either. It's about really having that comfortability, that understanding, that that outreach, that chosen outreach by each community member, not just a community coalition on race. It's literally everyone who lives in this town's responsibility if you mm-hmm. want it to be a part of that, because we can't do the work for you. Yeah. My mom can't do the work for you. So it's like, it's you really accepting like, oh, if I want to be a part of this, and like, I have to be a part of it. And that is, it's brave, it's responsible, and it's light bringing, it's light bearing. So, yeah.
So good. It's an ethic, right? It's just infused. It permeates all levels. It's woven in. And that's how you start to dismantle systemic oppression, right? And the systemic barriers.
And I think those both worries, right? Yeah. I love the way that Solana put it. I think what could be considered a challenge that is that over the 25 years of the community coalition, because our demographic is primarily Black and white, and we have other groups that are continuing to grow, our Hispanic community, our Asian community, a lot of the focus has been Black and white. But the coalition broadening our perspective, that when mm-hmm. we say the community coalition on race, that we're looking across the various races and various ethnicities. And it's also recognizing the fact that if you're not at the table, very many times your issue, your voice
does not really get heard. Not because people are deliberately trying to exclude you, it's just not part of the mix. They don't think to even bring it into the conversation. And that's one of the roles that the coalition continues to try to work, to be able to bring all the voices to the table and look at things through the lens of inclusion. And so we would go back to the, whether it's the police department or the town government. Well, did you think about how this particular action will impact this particular community? Mm-hmm. And many times the answer is, well, no, not really. And people are not trying to be, malicious. But the reality is we get so involved in our own group that we don't look out. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that the coalition will continue to widen the circle, not only with our work, but also with neighbors and neighbors within South Orange Maplewood and neighbors in the surrounding area who get involved in this work. That's our hope. And so we ask people to step in to the situation, have your voice heard, and give us your feedback and hold us accountable, because we need to be held accountable and we want to be held accountable.
Any parting words, babe?
I agree. It makes it sound a lot less abrasive, and I'm grateful. And I think that is what is needed, because
it's hospitable.
It is hospitable. There's so many different forms of hospitality.
Exactly.
And I think just because something may feel more abrasive, that was my best friend who I just hugged. She lives in Union, right? She's 8 minutes away from my house. She went to Union High School. I went to Union High School prom. Her town experience is completely different than my town experience, but also a beautiful town. But mm-hmm. it's like, in order, it's literally, but it could easily become the same. Like, it could easily become something that doesn't necessarily, I think our values and ethics should really spread out beyond our nucleus. Beyond our nucleus of Maplewood, South Orange. I think that's what really sets the precedent of who we are. It's not to incubate us.
That's right.
Like, you can't come in here. You did it. Why can't it stretch out to Irvington? Why can't it stretch out to Newark? Why can't it stretch out and not just in the direction of Short Hills, Livingston, Millburn?
And
Union and Vauxhall. I think these are things that inspire a state to make people feel like, dang, I didn't know there was so much open-mindedness in other places. Like, maybe I should do more. Maybe I should try more. Maybe I should be more open. And that is,
That's a perfect segue there, because Union is actually one of the towns that have actually approached us, the Community Coalition on Race, to talk about the work that we're doing and the organization that we've created and the engagement we've been able to initiate. And so there are a number of towns in the area, but we don't want to pretend that we're perfect, that we're the light on the hill. We are striving like everyone else, but the things that we've been able to experience and to learn, we want to share.
Yeah.
So people don't have to go and start from square zero. They can start from wherever they are and get to wherever they need to be based upon their particular community. So always being vigilant, I think, is one of the challenges, because things change.
Yeah.
And the things that you start out addressing initially may shift, but the underlying cause is still the same in terms of, so to get to the root cause, you can't be distracted by the trappings and always stay focused on what is it we're really trying to achieve and what does equity look like in this situation? What does it look like in the schools? What does it look like in the neighborhoods? What does it look like in our businesses? And after you get that clearer vision and get that vision built by the community, not just staying in your own head, asking people their thoughts and their suggestions about what that would look like for them, and then getting their creative suggestions about how we build that, and changing when we need to, because that's one of the challenges, you know, when you've been around.
Adaptability, right, exactly. Audrey? I was just thinking that word, adaptability. How do you stay agile and adaptable and innovative, right?
Innovative. Yes,
that adaptability and that fearlessness and that innovation is what I think makes us attractive.
Exactly.
And because there's tons of towns, no disrespect to Short Hills and Livingston and Melbourne, that are beautiful aesthetically and have, you know, they're rich and they look rich. And to kids, like to me growing up, it's like, oh, everything is so fancy, but that there's nothing that quite feels like Maplewood and South Orange. And it's that constant adaptability, that willingness to be fearless and to contest also so that we can build. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So that's beautiful.
Rich. That's what makes something rich.
Yes.
Of the heart and mind, not of the pocket.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good word. That's a good word. So ladies, any final thoughts that you have, like any, like what's a hope and a challenge that you might have for our listeners to send them forth? What's a call to action for them?
I would hope that, I think because racism and inequalities and equities seem so large, people feel they don't have any power. It's more than I can ever solve. I'm just one person. What can I really do? And so we get paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And so they do nothing, or they do one small thing, as Solana mentioned. I think we need to know that we can make a change. And it does start with individuals binding together and then organizing to actually work on what's important to us. So don't be discouraged. Also, you've got to be... you've got to have tenacity. This has been around a long time, time. But I'm determined, you know, it's not going to outlast me. I'm going to be to the bitter end, be in doing what you can do. So because the first action didn't work, don't feel like it's hopeless. Whether it's something we're doing in the schools, you know, programs that we're trying to enact, we have to keep looking at the problem, looking at it squarely in the eye, and then saying, okay, that didn't work. What do we need to do differently? And getting back in the game. We can't stay out too long. You got to just jump right back in the game and put your shoulders to it and pull other people into it. That's another thing I think that many times we feel passionate, but we don't feel like we have the right or want to take the time to ask our neighbor, our best friend, or the person across the road. We need critical mass to make this thing work. Mm-hmm. And so we need to get more people thinking about these issues and more people committed to making a change. So I love these two towns. There's no place I'd rather live. I have a lot of respect and confidence in my neighbors. And I just want to invite those of you who, for whatever reason, have been hesitant to get involved, no better time than now. We've had a rough last 2 to 3 years. And so I'm sure that many of you who may not have been paying attention before, who thought we were post-racial, hopefully we're aware that is not the fact now.
That's right.
And we need to get in there and go the next leg.
I agree. I believe even the idea of post-racial anything it's ignorant and a little disrespectful because that's not the society we live in at all. And it's gaslighting to the people who are experiencing these things. And it's kind of crazy. It can create that kind of constant gaslighting where it's like, I live in a post-racial society, but I guess I'm the only person who feels this way. But it's like, it's not true. It's just that it's scary to think and feel that way. And it's easier to feel like you're in a post-racial society or more comforting because there's less friction. And the friction doesn't have to be negative though. It's like sometimes friction creates fire, light, and warmth. So it's like you need that. It's okay to be nervous to introduce yourself to these group of Black kids that you've never seen before walking through the village or walking home from school, or and they're dancing and they're louder or anything like that. It's okay to now introduce yourself or to just say hey with joy to make them feel welcome, like they're also a part of the same community, like just like you would anyone else. And I think that's all we want. That's all anyone wants as a human being, is to feel included in a part of something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like we belong, right? Yes. This is about belonging. Yes. And in order to really experience belonging, I mean, you have to draw the circle wide. One of you was talking about it earlier about, you know, those people that are like kind of on the sideline, those people on the margins, just waiting to be invited in and given that sense of belonging. And that's where, you know, when you start to ask about culture, when you start to ask about like, what do you need, but also what can you contribute? So there's this beautiful sense of mutuality that happens. And I love that, you know, Audrey, when you were talking about including folks from different ethnicities and other cultures and all of that, that very much speaks to my heart and my experience. And I really love the way the coalition is seeking to do that more and more, because that was, Solana was talking about those, you know, how rich that was for her to experience so much of those different types of cultures and, you know, different, the bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and all of that, and your dad and having him be, you know, so revered. He still is, just to say, he's still very much revered in the community. And so it's really beautiful, this sense of belonging. And I so appreciate all that you have articulated. And we want it to ripple out, right? I think we're all clear that we want it to ripple out beyond Maplewood and South Orange.
We have
not
to,
that,
to
right?
We have to.
Yes. Great. Well, Solana, I know our listeners would love to know what you're working on. If you have any little tidbit that you can tell us about as we're closing out our time here together.
Yeah. So I'm just, it's about to be the 5th year anniversary of my album Control. And I'm working on, you know, putting a little special package together. I'm working on wrapping up my current album, and it's going to be a very interesting summer.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on all of that 5 years. I know that's beautiful, beautiful journey you've been on with your music and with all you share with the world. So thank you for that. And thank you both for being on the podcast today and helping us celebrate 25 years with the Community Coalition on Race. And Audrey Rowe, I want to say thank you to you for your 2 decades of inspired service and commitment and passion, and Solana for giving your mother, you know, to the rest of us, sharing her with the rest of the community.
It wasn't a choice.
Well, you know,
but now I understand that it's been worth it. And I missed my mom so many nights and opportunities. And
yeah,
but it's like, if my mom can really dedicate her time and her life and her energy to all these things, it's like the least we can do to repay multiple people in the coalition who have dedicated their lives and energy to this growing space is really doing our work and doing our part as a community. And that's how we show the gratitude and for where we live at that. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you, Liz. Thank you both.
Thank you, Liz. And thank you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I hope this conversation with Ms. Audrey and Solana, aka SZA, has been an inspiration to you and your life, and challenged you to think about how you are helping to build a better, more equitable world wherever you are. This Light the Way podcast is brought to you by the Maplewood South Orange Community Coalition on Race, hosted by me, Liz Testa, and edited by Garrett Steyer. This limited edition series is produced in honor of the Coalition's 25th anniversary. Learn more at communitycoalitiononrace.org or find us any place here on social. Until next time, remember that it's up to all of us to light the way toward a more equitable world.